Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the following sermon. The things I preach and teach are things that I believe to be the truth, but I am a mere man, very capable of mistakes and errors. The Lord said in John 12:48 that in the last day His words will judge us. So please do as those noble men did in Acts 17:11. Compare the things I teach with the Word of God. If you find that I've taught the truth, apply these truths to your life. Teach them to others so that we may be faithful children of God. On the other hand, if you feel that I've taught error in any way, please contact me and let's study the matter together and try to come to the right conclusion based on God's holy word. My email address is mpickford3@comcast.net. That's mpickford3@comcast.net. And now to our sermon.
We're going to be talking this evening about Bible examples of avoiding authority. Now, in our last lesson, we saw how religious people today avoid Bible authority by appealing to various false standards of authority. They may appeal to the standard of authority of Moses in the Old Testament, which is no longer our standard of authority for today. Some may appeal to standards of the mind, that is, they appeal to their conscience, or they appeal to how they think or how they feel. These are not accurate Bible standards of authority. Some people appeal to the standard of men. They appeal to the creed books written by men or to the conventions when men get together once a year and make up rules that regulate their particular denomination. These are false standards of authority. Now, in our lesson this evening, we're going to take a look at some people who lived in Old Testament times who avoided Bible authority. And as you'll see, these people did not get away with it. God had told them what to do, and they did more, or they did less. Many times, they no doubt rationalized their action with some of the same false standards of authority we discussed in our last lesson. And so, in thinking about Bible examples of avoiding authority, I want us to see three things very quickly. Number one, I want us to see a mandate for the people. Now, we have already discussed how serious God is when He tells His people what to do. God expects man to obey exactly the things He has commanded. There are rules. There are rules that God expects us to follow. Man is to preach the Word, nothing more, nothing less. 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Man is not to transgress the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Those who teach anything more or anything less than the gospel will be accursed. That's what Paul said in Galatians 1:6-9. When he talks about those who teach anything different than what they had already heard, let him be accursed, Paul said. Even if tonight an angel were to appear from heaven and to begin to bring us a message from this pulpit, if we found out that that message was different than what's already been recorded in the New Testament and the gospel, let that angel be accursed. That's what Paul said. Now, as we go to the Old Testament, we see that God has always felt this way about His revelation to man. Those in Old Testament times who did not do things exactly as God had prescribed, they paid the price. God commanded, Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Proverbs 30, verse 6, the wise man said, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. The famous blessings and cursings found in Deuteronomy 28 have their very basis upon careful obedience to the commandments of God. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, beginning, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments. Notice that, carefully observing all of His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Then drop down to verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. When God was commanding Joshua to take over leadership of the people of Israel after the death of Moses, He told him about this law. Joshua 1, verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Without question, God expected the children of Israel to do exactly what He had said and according to the way He told them to do it. It was mandated. Sadly, there were many instances where people under the old law thought they could get away with doing things their own way. Indeed, they even thought they were pleasing God with these innovations. That brings us to our next point. Number one, we see the mandate for the people. Number two, we see the misbehavior of the people. Now, whenever one chooses to do something in a different way than God told them to, there are very serious consequences. God says what He means and means what He says. Consider some examples from the Old Testament of people who chose to have it their own way. Adam and Eve, for example, going all the way back to the beginning. Genesis 2, 16 and 17 tells us, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Now, a close reading of Genesis chapter 3 reveals Adam and Eve doing exactly what God told them not to do. They ate the forbidden fruit. Now, someone might say, so what? They ate a piece of fruit. Big deal. It was a big deal to God. It became a big deal to Adam and Eve. God cast them out of their beautiful garden. They died spiritually. They began to die physically. And all of this from eating one piece of fruit that Eve decided was harmless. And you know, her reasoning was similar to the idea of today. Look at all the good it will do. She looked at that fruit and she saw that it would be good to make one wise. Well, look at all of the good it would do. Although Eve thought eating the fruit would do a lot of good, God thought differently. She transgressed the command and she paid the price. Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus 10, 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord." Now the ESV says, "unauthorized fire," which He had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Nadab and Abihu offered fire to the Lord, but they didn't use the kind of fire God had commanded, for the fire they used was unauthorized. You see, they did it differently than the exact way God had specified. Now, did Nadab and Abihu worship the Lord? Oh, yes. Do you think they were sincere when they offered this worship? There's nothing in the text that indicates that they were not sincere. There's no reason to think otherwise. Was their worship acceptable to God? Certainly not. They were struck dead. Listen, it is possible to worship God even sincerely and still be wrong. Dead wrong. God struck these men dead on the spot. And then there's Moses. Numbers 20 verse 8 says, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals." Now, as you can see, God gave Moses exact directions as to what He wanted Moses to do in supplying water for the people of Israel. He was told specifically to speak to the rock. Now, sadly, this is not what Moses did. Verse 11 tells us that Moses struck the rock twice with his rod. Now, was there anything about striking the rock in the directions God had given Moses? No. We all know Moses didn't get to enter the promised land with the children of Israel. Do you remember why? It was this very incident. Moses missed out on the land flowing with milk and honey because he disobeyed God on this occasion. Now, there was an earlier time when they were in a similar circumstance and Israel needed water. And God told Moses to strike the rock. But this time, He told Moses to speak to the rock. Now, Moses may have reasoned, well, you know, before God told me to strike the rock, so surely He wouldn't mind if I struck the rock this time, right? He did mind. God forbid him from entering into the promised land. Listen, there are people today who say, well, you know, I know the New Testament doesn't authorize mechanical instruments of music in the worship service, but the Old Testament does. God wanted it back then, so surely He wouldn't mind having it now. Listen, He changed His mind with Moses. Moses could have used the same reasoning. Moses was told to strike the rock on the first occasion, but on the second occasion he was told to speak to the rock. But he struck it and was banned from the promised land. You may be thinking the punishment was rather harsh. Listen, God takes what he says very seriously. Moses should have just been content to do it the way God said rather than the way he felt was best. And then there's the example of Uzzah. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 tells us, "And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor," David, remember, was moving the Ark of the Covenant, "Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled." Now remember, here's what's going on. You've got the Ark of the Covenant, probably the most sacred piece of furniture in Israel's history. And the oxen stumbled, the Ark of the Covenant, this precious piece of furniture, was going to fall off the cart onto the dirty, filthy ground. It would have been defiled. And Uzzah couldn't let that happen, so he reached out and caught it so it wouldn't hit the dirty, filthy ground and be defiled. In other words, from man's standpoint, Uzzah did a good thing, right? He was preventing the Ark of the Covenant from being defiled on the ground. He did a good thing. What did God think about it? Read on. It says, "Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the Ark of God." Now, does it seem odd to you that God would kill Uzzah for this? After all, this was the holy sacred Ark of the Covenant. Had Uzzah not reached out and caught it with his hand, this holy vessel would have hit the dirty, filthy ground. All of this could have caused Uzzah to actually think he was doing God a favor. And to be honest, from man's point of view, again, it seems Uzzah did a very good, noble thing. So why did God kill him? Here's the answer. It's very simple. God had said in Numbers 4:15, "And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die." That's why Uzzah died. He had no authority to touch that ark, even if it seemed to do good. The ends do not justify the means, as some think today. Some think, look at all the good it's doing. That doesn't justify doing the thing. The only thing that justifies doing the thing is the authority of the Bible. Remember the scenario Jesus gave in Matthew 7:21-23, when he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." It takes more than just calling out to the Lord. You've got to do his will. And then Jesus in that scenario says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" Now, who would stand up and say those were evil things? No. I mean, from man's perspective, it's a good thing to prophesy in the Lord's name. It's a good thing to cast out demons. It's a good thing to do many wonders in the name of the Lord. So what was the problem? These people were very religious, they were very sincere, and they were very active. And the Lord said, "I'll declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me." Now why? Jesus said, "You who practice lawlessness." That word lawlessness from the Greek means to act as if there is no law. In other words, they may have done many works that from man's perspective were good works, but those works weren't authorized in the New Testament. Just because it's religious and just because we stick Christ's name on it, that doesn't make it okay. The question is, does the gospel of Christ authorize that practice? And so already we've seen two important things regarding Bible examples of avoiding authority. We've seen the mandate for the people. We have seen the misbehavior of the people, and now very quickly, consider the message to the people. Now, in each of these examples, God gave a very important lesson to all of His children. In fact, to all of His creation. The message? Obey Him exactly or perish. It's that simple. Also found in these examples is a very strong and powerful lesson for the people of today. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever things were written before," talking about those things in Old Testament, "were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope." 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages has come. All the things that happened to those in the Old Testament. And so these two verses make it abundantly clear that although we no longer are to appeal to the Old Testament for authority in religion, we can and must learn from the examples of the disobedience of those men and women who lived under those times. The message to the people is the same today. The lesson is timeless. From the beginning of creation to the end of the ages, God expects man to obey His exact directions. Nothing more, nothing less. Those who choose to have it their own way will perish. We learned that from the examples of those under the Old Testament time who thought they had a better way than God. Those who choose to add to or take away from the Word of God today in order to suit their own taste or to satisfy their own fanciful whims will suffer greatly. Who would counsel God? Why do we even need to change it? Just believe and obey the Bible the way it is. It was written by God. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 tells us His thoughts and His ways are higher than man's ways. Why challenge His wisdom? He knows what's best, even if we don't think it's always best. God is in control. Trust God. And believe the message we've seen tonight. It is so important to respect Bible authority. We learn how important it is by looking at the examples of those in Old Testament times who did not respect it. We've seen a mandate for the people. That is, God said, you stick with my law, don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left. We've seen the misbehavior of the people. They did turn from it. They did change it and tweak it and disobey it. And they suffered greatly. And then we see the message to the people. That is, the people today, religious people today, need to go back even to Old Testament times and learn just how serious God is when He says, you keep my commandments and you don't turn from them to the right hand or to the left.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Are you a child of God, a Christian? The Bible tells us exactly how to become a disciple of Christ. It begins by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. After hearing, one must believe in Jesus as God's Son. The Lord Himself said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins, John 8:24. After hearing and believing, one must then repent of his sins. He must make a conscious decision that from this point on, he will no longer serve sin and Satan, but will serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. One must then be willing to confess his faith in Christ. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:9 and 10. One is now ready to be baptized for the remission of his sins. Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22:16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Baptism is that point where the precious blood of Christ finally connects with our sins and washes them away. If we may assist you in obeying the gospel, you can contact us through our website at www.defendthegospel.com. That's www.defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.